This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا فما بعد My brothers and sisters, let me ask you to do something, which is to think about all those of our friends and our relatives who were with us last Ramadan, but who are not with us this Ramadan. So think about them, just imagine. And then ask a question, and the question is, did they know that last Ramadan would be their last Ramadan, meaning the last Ramadan of their lives? Did they know that? We know the answer. Obviously, they did not know that. Now, if they knew, if they had known that last Ramadan was going to be their last Ramadan, what do you think they would have done differently? Whatever they did, would they have done anything differently if they had this pre-knowledge that that was going to be their last Ramadan? Now, the reason I'm asking this is obviously this question is not about them, it's about us. And the question about us is, do I know, and I'm talking about myself, may Allah give you long and healthy lives, inshallah. But the fact is that one Ramadan, no matter how long we live, one Ramadan will be our last. And the question I ask myself is, do I know whether that last Ramadan of my life will be this Ramadan? And if it is, then what do I want to do in this Ramadan, which will be different from any other Ramadan that I had in my life? And I think I want to begin with that. Second question I want to ask is, will we enter Ramadan? Will that be a date change thing? Or will Ramadan enter us? Will I enter Ramadan or will Ramadan enter me? If I enter Ramadan, then on the first of Shawwal, I will exit Ramadan. On the day of Eid, I am out of Ramadan. But if Ramadan enters me, then the spirit of what Ramadan is, what Ramadan is supposed to be, what it's supposed to do for us, will inshallah, we hope and we ask Allah for His help, will remain with me lifelong. I want to leave these two questions with you. Now there is one question I believe that we need to settle within ourselves. It's a question that the mushrikeen of Makkah, the polytheists of Makkah, had the most trouble with. And today, we Muslims worldwide seem to have the same problem. The question is, it's a single question, but it's in three parts. First part of the question, will I die? Now, it sounds like a stupid question, because of course we will die. I'm not thinking of an intellectual response or a theoretical response. I'm saying deep down within me, do I truly believe that one day I will die? Number two, do I truly believe that I will be resurrected, that I will be brought back to life before Allah? And number three, do I truly believe that I will be called to account for my deeds? I will have to answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for my deeds. This is a three-part question which I tell myself, and I request all of you, sit down quietly by yourself without any disturbance and settle this once and for all. Because if you do that, then believe me, your life will be the most simple, the most beautiful going forward. Without that, life will always be full of questions and doubts and stress and all kinds of things. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us Ramadan to enable us to draw close to Him. The one important thing to understand about Ramadan, as well as any of the ibadat, any of the acts of worship, is the ibadah is not for itself. Salah is not for itself, Ramadan fasting is not for itself, Hajj is not for itself, Zakat is not for itself, and so on. Every ibadah is for a purpose. The ibadah itself is a tool. It's like a hammer, it's like a computer, or whatnot. The computer is not for the sake of the computer. If you just keep it and polish it and look after it and, you know, keep it in a velvet case and put it on the top of the shelf, makes no sense. It is a tool. It's supposed to do something. It is supposed to get us something. Every ibadah is a tool and it is supposed to get us something. Now, what is Ramadan supposed to, what is fasting supposed to get us? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not leave this as a mystery. He told us. He said, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, kutiba alaykum usiyamu kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqoon. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O you who believe, fasting is prescribed for you as it was prescribed for those before you, so that you may become al-muttaqoon. Now, all promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are for the people of taqwa, not merely for Muslimun, not merely for the Muslims. The people for the promises are for the people of taqwa. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah An-Nahl, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Inna Allaha ma'a alladhina taqaw walladhina hum muhsinun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, truly Allah is with those who have taqwa and who are muhsinun, who have people of taqwa and people who have ihsan, which is a step higher than taqwa. Similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Talaq, Allah said, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. Allah said, and whoever has taqwa of Allah, Jalla Jalaluhu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make a way out for him to get out of every difficulty, and he will provide him from sources he could never imagine. And whoever puts his trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he will become sufficient for him. The question to ask is, do we really want Allah to be with us or not? Again, dumb question, but very important to ask. Do we really want Allah with us or not? Do we need Allah or not? Is Allah sufficient for us or not? These are the questions for us to think about, and we have the time in Ramadan for us to sort them out once and for all. Because remember one thing, it doesn't matter what answers we give today. When we stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is only and only our actions which will speak for us or against us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from that. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said very clearly, Al-yawma nakhtimu ala anfusihim. نَخْتِمُ عَلَىٰ أَفْوَاهِهِمْ وَتُكَلِّمُنَا أَيْدِهِمْ وَتَشْهَدُ أَرْجُلُهُمْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Yasin, their tongues and their mouths will be sealed and their hands and feet will speak. So our actions, what decisions did we take? When we say Allah is enough for me, does my life reflect that? When I say I need Allah, does my life reflect that? I cannot say I need Allah and then I disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in everything in life. If you need Allah, you cannot disobey Allah. Simple as that. So this is something which is very important. That is what fasting comes to reiterate and emphasize. Because only action counts. Only doing counts. Not merely knowing. Knowing and not doing is proof and evidence against the slave. Taqwa is the goal, and it is its own best reward. All the other rewards of Ramadan are a bonus. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his bounty and grace. Now how is this reiterated? Because in Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us to stay away from things which are normally halal. Things which are good, things which are halal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in another place in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Kulu washrabu and وَلَا تُصْرِفُوا. Allah said, eat and drink and don't do in excess. But in Ramadan, that same eating and drinking has been stopped. And why do we stop? We don't do that to understand how the poor people feel and all that kind of stuff. We do that because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us to do that. There's no other reason. Now, the whole idea here is if we are going to and we are prepared to stop ourselves from doing something which is halal because Allah said so, what must we do with something which is haram? It's as simple as that. This is something that I have to answer. This is something that we have to answer for ourselves, because this is what we will be questioned before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about. And as I said, it doesn't matter what kind of creative answers we have today. When we go before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the fact only will count, and that is what our bodies will speak, not us. Now, what do we do? Monitoring our gains going forward. And what must we do as far as preparing for Ramadan is concerned? Four things I think we need to monitor as far as taqwa is concerned. Number one is doing more and not less than what is required in all good works. Right? Not the minimalist kind of thinking, not tick a box. Doing more rather than less. Take salah for example. Many people have this habit, they just pray four rakat of or two rakat of fard salah and they leave. They will not even pray sunnah. Right? This is not a sign of taqwa. This is a sign of weak taqwa. Because if we are doing the minimalist as far as the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are concerned, and we know very well, we don't do this minimalist thinking as far as our lives are concerned. We don't eat the minimum amount of food. If we did that, we wouldn't have problems with weights. That is something which we should be doing. We don't drive the cheapest possible car. We don't live in the smallest possible house. For ourselves, we want everything and we want it even in excess. But for, as far as the ibadat of Allah are concerned, minimalist thinking. So not having that is a sign of taqwa. Number two, being careful with the boundaries of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not only not breaking the boundaries, but not even going close to the boundaries. Don't even go near them. Number three, always and always and always earn halal and eat halal. I'm not going into the details of this. We all know all the details. Our problem today is not lack of knowledge. Our problem is really having the knowledge. Because after having the knowledge, we don't apply it, it becomes a hujjat against us. So everyone knows what is halal, everyone knows what is haram. Question is, what are we doing? Earning halal and eating halal, and these are things in which there is no scope for flexibility. Right? What is halal is halal, what is haram, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Al-halalu bayyin, wa haramu bayyin, wa baynahuma mushtabihat. He said, the halal is clear, the haram is clear. Between the two are the doubtful matters. And he said, leave the doubtful matter, leave that which is doubtful for that which is not doubtful. Number four is, who do you look to for reward, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or people? It is very important because many times we get concerned. As a matter of fact, almost everything we do which is wrong is because of what will people say. You know, log kya kahenge. So we do all kinds of stuff. One of the big things we do, bad stuff is in marriages, right? All kinds of israf in marriages. Hey, log kya kahenge, what will people say? Hasan Basri Rahmatullah Alayh, they asked him, why are you not concerned about what people say? You don't seem to, you know, pay any attention to that. He said, I was born alone. I will die alone. I will be in my grave alone. I will be resurrected alone. I will stand before Allah alone. And I will give account of my life to Allah alone. What do I have to do with people? What do I have to do with people? What do people have to do with me? Let people think anything they want. It makes no difference. Because this is one of the biggest problems. What will people think about me is the biggest of all problems and the major reason for all the wrongs that we end up doing in our lives. So I think this is very important. Forget people. Focus on ourselves first. Because nobody else can help us. All that we do will only be because of what we do. Now, we begin with...
Recording stopped.
We begin with...
recording in progress.
Istighfar and tawbah. Repentance and returning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Istighfar is to seek forgiveness and tawbah is to turn around. So this is the beginning place. And I remind myself and all of us to make a lot of istighfar and a lot of tawbah and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us Ramadan in good health, with enough time and with the ability to prioritize the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to use it for the maximum benefit. Because we don't know whether this Ramadan will be our last. Just like all our friends who passed away, they did not know that last Ramadan was going to be the last Ramadan of their lives. Now, there are four things to do before we enter Ramadan. Number one, clean our hearts. Number one important thing is to clean our hearts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. On the day of judgment, he said, nothing will help you, not your wealth, not your children, not anything, except the one who brings to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a clean heart, a pure heart, a heart which is free from all forms of shirk and all forms of nifaq, all forms of polytheism and all forms of hypocrisy. Now, we might say, well, you know, I'm not worshipping idols, alhamdulillah, that's good. The issue is to understand that doing something which you want to do, which is against what Allah wants you to do, is a form of shirk. So we don't have to worship idols. Deliberately disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially in matters which He made fard, is kufr. We don't have to worship idols. We commit shirk and kufr in our own way. So we have to be very clear, get out of all that. Nifaq, hypocrisy, showing off. So clean the heart of all hatred and all enmity and all jealousy and all greed and all envy and all fear of anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And let me invite everyone to add to this list from their own lives which they know best. Now think of it as you would think about cleaning your room or cleaning your house. You don't leave any garbage or dirt in the house when you clean it. You go into every corner. I have a friend who the shower area, he actually takes a toothbrush and goes into all the corners and rubs them and cleans them, right? In America, the joy of it is you get to do it yourself. In Bangladesh, you have someone else to do it. But you make sure that it is done. Because you say, no, if there is any dirt left there, then it's going to create some stink and some bad smell and so on and so on. So the reality is that our real home is our heart. Our real house is our heart. So let's see what we have in this heart. All the stuff I listed and all the stuff that you will list, all of this is garbage and dirt. So before Ramadan, ensure that the heart is clean and pure from all of this. Number two, fasting in what comes out of our mouths. So we know about fasting in what comes into our mouths. Let us think about fasting in what comes out of our mouths. Because that is also fasting. And what is that? What comes out of our mouth is ghibat, is backbiting, is buhtan, it's slander, it's namima, it's all kinds of innuendos, all kinds of, you know, casting aspersions on people. And then somebody says, no, why are you bad talking? No, no, I never said anything. You said everything without saying anything. Wait, some very simple matter. For example, somebody mentions someone, oh, yeah, tell me about it. Yeah, I know all that. So without saying anything, you said everything. So all of this is haram. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warned us against this because they are like cancer, which is our own cells, right? When cancer is our body killing itself. The body doesn't fight it because it is part of the body. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, think about this. And this is so important that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed Quran about this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu ijtanibu kathiran min az-zann. Inna ba'da az-zanni ithm. Wala tajassasu. Wala yaghtab ba'dukum ba'da. Ayyuhibbu ahadukum an ya'kula lahma akhihi maytan fakarihtumuh. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. Allah said, O you who believe, avoid suspicion, indeed some kind of suspicion is sin, and do not spy and don't backbite one another. One day I was talking to somebody and I mentioned this ayah, and that person says, oh, there goes my social life. And that is the reality, right? There goes my social life, because my social life is only spying and backbiting and gossiping. So Allah is saying here, and do not spy and do not backbite one another. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives an example. Allah says, would one of you like to eat the flesh of his dead brother? Really, we should try to visualize this, because then you would see it would be so hateful and so disgusting. And Allah says that, فَكَرِهْتُمُ. Allah said, this is disgusting for you, so hate it. And so hate backbiting. And have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Verily, Allah is the one who accepts repentance and is most merciful. And this is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In a hadith in Bukhari, Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu narrated that Rasulullah said, whoever does not give up false statements, which is telling lies and so on, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam even prohibited us from telling lies jokingly. There is no need. Humor is very, very beautiful and we must laugh and we must joke, but there is no need to tell lies to joke. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Hurairah said that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever does not give up false statements, which is telling lies and evil deeds and speaking bad words, which is profanity, cursing and so on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in need of his fasting, of his leaving food and drink. So he's talking about what comes out of the mouth. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying that if you cannot give up these things, backbiting and evil deeds and bad words and profanity and so on, then the fasting, it will not help you. In another hadith in Riyadhus Salihin, which is from Sahih Muslim, Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu reported that Rasulullah said, do you know who is bankrupt among you? They said, destitute. They said, Ya Rasulullah, the bankrupt, the destitute among us are the people who do not have money. No dinar, no dirham, nor do they have any property. Rasulullah said, the real bankrupt, the real destitute of my ummah would be the one who would come on the day of resurrection with salah and sawm and sadaqah. He was coming with his prayers, coming with his fasting, and he's coming with his charitable deeds, with his charity. But he will find himself bankrupt on that day, as he would have exhausted all his good deeds, because he reviled others, he abused others, he brought calumny against others, he accused people falsely, he unlawfully devoured the wealth of others, he shed the blood of others, and he beat others, and so on and so forth. And remember, character assassination is worse. Al-fitnatu ashadu min al-qatl. A character assassination is worse than murder. So his good deeds would be credited to the account of those who suffered at his hand. If his good deeds fall short to clear the account of their sins, to clear his account, their sins will be entered into his account, and he will be thrown into the hellfire, into Jahannam. Now, think about this. Remember that we say on social, remember what we say on social media has global reach, and it has eternal life. Long after, if that is evil, then it will keep on earning the fire of Jahannam for us long after we have died. Now, how futile and terrible is that? That I will go, and the person who's saying this stuff will go into Jahannam, not because of what they did, but in a way, because of what they did, but carrying the evil deeds of somebody else. So the thing to do is, number two thing, number one is clean your heart. Number two is, in terms of cleaning the heart, is to settle accounts before we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we did anything like this with anyone, settle that account. If you took away somebody's property, give it back. If you bad-talked someone, go apologize to them. Whatever happened, settle the account before we meet Allah. Number three, forgive everybody, no matter who, and no matter what they did. And anyone has any difficulty with that, think about the people who wronged Rasulullah. Believe me, it's not as a matter of devotion and so on. I'm saying this. This is actual fact. How many of us are here today listening to this talk who somebody murdered their daughter? How many of us are here today who suffered the kind of pain and psychological pain and physical pain that Rasulullah ﷺ suffered? There's not one of us. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept us very safe and very, very protected. Our big problem with somebody is what? Oh, he didn't show me enough respect. He said this, she said that. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. That's even worth thinking about. Forgive everybody. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us that. Allah said, Rabbana innana sami'na munadiyan yunadi lil imani an aminu bi rabbikum fa amanna. Rabbana faghfir lana dhunubana wa kaffir anna sayyi'atina wa tawaffana ma'al abrar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O our Rabb, he said, ask like this, O our Rabb, verily we have heard the call of the one, that is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, calling to the faith, believe in your Rabb, and we believed. And our Rabb, forgive our sins and erase our evil deeds and make us die in a state of righteousness along with Al-Abrar, along with the people who are obedient. Forgiving the sins and erasing the deeds means that even the Malaika who write down our deeds, the Kiram and Katibin, they will be made to forget what they wrote. And the record itself will not be there. Forgiving is, the record is still there, but you have been forgiven. Erasing means even the record will not be there. See the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then, in a hadith again from Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, about Husn Zan, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, beware of suspicion. Beware of suspicion. This is such a terrible thing, because when you suspect, the person you are suspecting has no way of clearing themselves. Because suspicion is pure conjecture. So Rasulullah said, beware of suspicion, for it is the worst of false tales. And don't look for the faults of others. Don't look for the faults of others. Don't spy and don't hate each other and don't desert them. Don't cut off your relations with one another. O Allah's slaves, be brothers and sisters to one another. This is in Bukhari. Imam Malik rahmatullah, he said that I know people who were very learned and very pious, but they spent a lot of time pointing out the faults of others. They spent a lot of time looking for the faults of others. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala humiliated them and cast them down even by revealing what things that they thought were hidden. And the opposite, he said, I knew people who were not particularly, you know, they were good people. He's not talking about people who were doing evil. But he says, no big scholars and this and that. But there were people who covered up the faults of others. They didn't seek out the faults, they covered up the faults of others. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised them in honor and status. This is a very important thing. These are small things, but a big important, very big important things. People come to us, you know what so-and-so said? Stop them right there. He said, no, I don't know what so-and-so said. I don't want to know what so-and-so said. If you find it so problematic, go talk to that person. Don't come and tell me the story. Right? Do not point fingers at people. Do not find faults with people. If you are really so concerned about what somebody did, make dua for them. Unless someone is doing something which is openly haram, even in that case, talk to the person. Don't talk to somebody else about that person. Another hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, also in Bukhari, where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I am to my slave as he thinks of me. This is a hadith of Qudsi. Allah said, Ana inda zanni abdi bi, meaning I can do for him whatever he thinks I can do for him. And in that, with this hadith, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us because we know and we think that he can forgive us. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala urges us in his kitab, in his book, to forgive people and to be patient with them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al Imran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظَ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Allah said, he's talking about good people, and he said, these are the people who spend in the cause of Allah during ease and hardship. وَالسَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ, whether they will spend even if they don't have money. So during ease and hardship, they spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and who restrain kazimin al-ghayz, they restrain their anger. When they are angry, they don't express the anger, they restrain their anger, and who pardon people, who forgive people, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the doers of good. Abdul Razzaq radiallahu rahmatullahi reported that there was a slave girl who belonged to Ali bin Hussein bin Ali bin Abi Talib. This was the grandson of Sayyidina Ali bin Abi Talib, who is also known as Zainul Abidin. He was a very pious person, and he was a great abid. He used to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a great deal. So Zainul Abidin, the crown of the Abidin, that was his kunya, his title. So Ali bin Hussein. Now this, he was making wudu, and this slave girl was pouring water for him, and she dropped the pot that she was holding, and it hit him on the face and injured his face. So he turned and looked at her angrily, and she said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظِ, people who restrained their anger. So Ali bin Hussein rahmatullahi, he said, I have forgiven, he said, I have restrained my anger. Then she said, وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ, and those, Allah loves those who forgive people. He said, I have forgiven you. She said, وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those who do good. He said, I have freed you, go, you are now free. Yeah, so this is also the benefit of knowledge. The slave girl herself had knowledge, and she used it, even though she did something wrong, but she used the knowledge to free herself. And alhamdulillah, it's also a sign of the true abd of Allah, who has the taqwa, that when he is reminded about the kalam of Allah, immediately he acts. Today we think about this for ourselves. When we do things and somebody quotes an ayat of the Quran, many people go to Google and they hunt for antidotes to that, right? Like as if it's a poison or something. Instead of immediately accepting, this is what Allah said, alhamdulillah, I was doing wrong, I accept. Again, Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu in a hadith in Muslim Sharif, a Sahih hadith, he said that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that charity does not decrease wealth. No one forgives, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases him in honor. And no one humbles himself before Allah, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raises him in status. In conclusion, I want to just narrate for you a couple more hadiths in this connection. One is the hadith by Ubadah bin As-Samit radiallahu anhu. And he said, I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, there is no man, and he, in all of these things, when you say man, it means man and woman, no person, who suffers an injury to his body, then he forgives the one who caused it as an act of charity, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive his sins commensurate with the extent of his charity. And this is in Musnad Imam Ahmad. Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu, he said that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there are three things concerning which, by the one in whose hand is the soul of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I would certainly swear an oath. Number one, wealth does not decrease because of charity, so give charity. Number two, no person, no man, no woman pardons or forgives another for mistreatment, seeking thereby the pleasure of Allah, but Allah will raise him in status because of that. And number three, no one asks from people, but Allah will increase him in poverty. No one asks from people, meaning instead of asking Allah, begging from people, but Allah will increase him in poverty. And this is also in Musnad Imam Ahmad. And the third hadith in Musnad Imam Ahmad is from Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhuma, who narrated from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he said when he was on the minbar, show mercy and you will be shown mercy. Show mercy and you will be shown mercy. Forgive and Allah will forgive you. Now the last thing out of the four is to do something only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and keep it a secret. This is very, very important. By all means, do good things, and you know, some good things, maybe it's good for people to know, to encourage them, but do something only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the also one of the great benefits of tahajjud, because when you pray, only Allah knows. Nobody is watching you, you don't know. And don't spoil that by saying, somebody says, please make dua for me. Yes, I will make dua for you in tahajjud. So now they didn't know you were praying tahajjud. Now you are telling them, I will make dua in tahajjud. Why do you say, somebody says make dua, I say inshallah I will make dua. You make it in tahajjud, don't tell them about it. Keep tahajjud to yourself. Keep, this is a secret ibadah for yourself, alhamdulillah. We know of course the hadith of Ikhlasun Niyya, the hadith of the three people who were trapped in the cave. I'm sure all of you know the hadith, so I will not mention it here. For the sake of time, but so think about that. Here are three people who were trapped in the cave. Each one of them had a secret deed which they did only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and making dua, invoking that, making dua with that deed as the wasila, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved their lives. So finally, to end, I want to say, let us make a vow to continue all of these things after Ramadan, to clean our hearts, to forgive people, to guard what comes out of our mouths, and finally to do something secret and keep it secret only for the sake of Allah. Let us make a vow to ourselves to say that we will continue this throughout our lives. Because as I said, Ramadan is not for Ramadan. Ramadan is for it's a life-changing opportunity. It's to change the rest of our lives. Taqwa is the key to Jannah. Ramadan is the gate, is the game changer. It is the boot camp that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent for us to reboot our lives and put them on the path of salvation. And so let us not waste that time. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give all of us Ramadan in good health and iman, and with the time to do the best. And remember, the time doesn't come from anywhere. Time comes because we create that time. So let us free ourselves. Let us free ourselves to do our ibadat beautifully, without hurrying, without rushing here and there. Let us free ourselves to make aitikaf in the last 10 days of Ramadan. MashaAllah, you have beautiful masajid there. Make aitikaf in the masjid. Don't worry, the world will still be there. The world will still be there. Whatever is happening will still happen. And the biggest, most powerful reminder that happens to me is every time I go to the cemetery, if I do Salat al-Janazah for somebody, I bury somebody, I remind myself that this person who is going into that grave, and may Allah protect us from this person who is going into that grave used to believe that without him the world will not run. His world will not run. What will happen to me? What will happen to my family? What will happen to my business? What will happen to this and that and the other when I'm dead? Well, now guess what? You are dead. And you know what's happening to your family? They are fine. You know what's happening to your business? That is still running. You know what's happening to the world? That is still running. And you are dead. And now you are in the grave. And you are answering to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all the stuff you did or did not do, thinking that that was an excuse for somebody else. It is not. Let us wake up. It is about us. Allah sent us into this world alone. We will leave this world alone. Let us straighten that out. The rest of it, let us do our duty. Let us do our best. Let us do the best that we can do. Because this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us, to do the best that we can do. Let us do that, keeping in mind the hudud, the limits, the boundaries of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those are non-negotiable. Those are non-negotiable. No argument about that. What Allah made halal is halal. What Allah made haram is haram. I don't care who likes it, who doesn't like it. Follow that, because on the day of judgment, that is what we will be questioned about. Last point of remembering, will we enter Ramadan or will Ramadan enter us? Jazakumullahu khair. Wassalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.